Welcome to the Pastor's Porch, a place where pastors encourage one another, speak freely about the Word of God, and engage in real communal relationships with the body of Christ.
Oh, don't be so serious.
Well, what a great intro. We want to welcome everybody to the Pastor's Porch. If you can't tell, we're having fun today. It is 2 days before Thanksgiving. Yeah, we've been practicing our turkey calls in here, even though it's not turkey season, but we're ready. It is definitely a time to be thankful. It is one of my favorite times of the year. And so today on the Pastor's Porch, we are simply going to be talking about thankfulness and what that means to us as pastors, as husbands, as fathers, as men. And just how to be thankful in the seasons that you are in.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for us, the trap of the manly American dream is that you always have to be climbing a ladder to somewhere and you can't just enjoy the season you're in. And the time I'm in my life, not to make it too serious too fast, but the time I'm in my life, I am really trying to focus on embracing the season that I'm in. It's very busy. It's very crazy. It's coming and going every direction, every day. But what I'm trying to find is the 1 Thessalonians 5 version of my life, which would go, you know, something like this. Pray without ceasing. You know, I'm sorry. Rejoice evermore. In other words, be thankful and everything. Ever rejoicing spirit. Pray without ceasing. And then in everything give thanks. I think it's verse 16 through 18 that I'm quoting. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And man, that's just where I've been trying to get in my life. I don't want to just be that 1 week out of the year. I don't want to just be thankful and rejoicing and, you know, 1 month out of the year in November. I want to be thankful all the time. Mm-hmm. I want to have a rejoicing spirit. I want to have a spirit that prays consistently. And I want to live a life of thanksgiving, even in the hard seasons, even in the good seasons, and all seasons in between. I want to live a life of thanksgiving. And so that has been a focus of mine for probably the last couple years. Some days I do it really well, and I feel like, man, I'm good at that. And then the next day, I completely forget that, and sure, I don't do it so well.
Yeah, well, it should be a lifestyle. You know, we typically, in the American culture, take one or two days on bigger holidays throughout the year to prioritize that. And I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong with that. But I think a heart of thankfulness, a heart of thanksgiving should be a lifestyle, right? Yeah. And it's all throughout Scripture. What people don't realize is this: thanksgiving is also praise.
Yeah,
it's praise. Mm-hmm. And so I actually just last week we're going through a series of prayer and what prayer is with our youth and our discipleship classes. Mm-hmm. And I like using the acrostic PRAY. Mm-hmm. And it stands for praise, repent, ask, and yield.
Yeah.
And so last week we started our very first week on it. I guess technically our second week. Our first week was just an overview of prayer. Mm-hmm. But then the second week was talking about praise.
Mm-hmm.
And Psalms 100 is one of the very first passages, more than one verse that I can remember my parents wanting me to memorize. Okay. And it's a psalm of praise.
All right.
And verse 4 says, literally, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And as I was studying this and reading some commentary and just allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to me, something stood out to me in that Psalms is the fact that, you know, we think prayer is what gets us before God, but actually it's a heart of thanksgiving, and it's a heart of praise that we actually come into his presence.
Mm-hmm.
And so I say all that to say this, you know, it's really easy to focus on being thankful in the season that we are approaching and the season we are in. But man, to constantly be in the presence of the Lord and be in tune with what he wants and has for our lives, the only ability to be able to do that is to enter on a daily basis with a thankful heart.
Right.
And man, it just, when you sit down and when you truly read the scriptures and when you truly just focus on your life and just think about your life, we have so much more to be thankful for than we ever actually verbalize and recognize.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of, we get in this one track mind of, we got to wake up, we got to get the kids to school, we got to go to work, we get busy, right? But I think one of the main reasons I enjoy this season is because it forces me to slow down and recognize all the things that I have.
Sure.
Because of the Lord.
Yeah.
And what I wouldn't have without Him.
Well, don't be too busy to be thankful.
Correct.
And really, it's sad that it takes a holiday for us to think about that. Because I this is the trap that I fall into, is I can be so busy that I forget to be thankful. Sure. I can be so busy that I forget that it's a blessing to be with my kids at their little ball games, or be with my kids at the fishing hole or the hunting hole or the, I mean, they kill everything that walks by. I forget, like, you know, they shoot everything that moves. And so sometimes I've been so busy lately, I haven't got to enjoy those moments. And I have tremendously enjoyed them, but I want to enjoy them more than one day. You know, I want to enjoy it all the time. And I think, you know, Jackson was, it's funny that you bring up your youth stuff, because at supper last night, Jackson was telling us about your studies and just different things going on in the youth room and this sort of thing. And he talked about how much he enjoyed breaking up into the two different groups. And he was bragging on the middle school group being bigger. He thought that was cool, that there was more middle schoolers, and he was excited about that. But he said, you know, he was talking about the pray thing, you know, the praise, repent, you know, all this stuff. And he's talking about that. And as he's talking about that, I'm watching the dude just grow, right? I'm just watching him grow. And of course, Hunter was home by then, and he was talking about his day, and I was thinking, man, we were just sitting there kind of all in the living room, and I think there was something on the TV, and nobody was watching it. We were just talking to each other. And I thought, man, this is the moments, like, I'm thankful for.
Sure.
This is the moments I'm thankful for, is that I was telling the church last night that, like, the life I grew up in, my kids don't even know, they're not even in the same neighborhood as far as the things that was happening in my life at 13 and 11 years old, or 8 and 6 years old, or whatever age my kids are now. But they're not even in the same neighborhood. And I think sometimes we forget that, as either first or second generation Christians, we forget that, like, God has delivered us, right? Well, that same deliverance applies to these verses that I've shared, that you've shared. This is a daily deliverance. This is a daily relationship. It's a moment by moment thing. When Paul's like, think on these things, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
He lists out all those things that are good, things that are just, things that are holy, things that are
lovely,
pure.
Yeah.
Right, things that are lovely. Like, I mean, and he's going on, he's writing, and this is what people don't realize, he's writing that in prison.
Yeah.
And he's in prison.
Yeah.
He says, I know how to be stuffed, and I know how to be fasting, right? He says, I know how to be full, I know how to be empty. He says, I know how to do, how to be up, how to be down, how to be abased, in other words, provided for, and how to be down and be in want. And then he says, I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's hard to believe that's not about a jump shot, you know? It's hard to believe that Philippians 4:13 is not about scoring. It's a great verse for that. It's kind of like 1 Corinthians 13 we talked about the other day, you know?
Correct.
Great verses for marriage, not about marriage. Philippians 4:13, great verse to use for athletics. Really not about athletics, you know, but it's about our lives.
Yeah.
It's about a thankful life. And on the upside, we should be thankful. On the downside, we should be thankful. Going into the challenge, coming out of the challenge. In all things, we're finding a way to live that life that you're talking about. Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
A life of thanksgiving is vital.
Yeah, it's vital. Super vital. And I pose this question, and the Lord really challenged me, more like the Lord posed this question to me to allow me to pose it to the middle schoolers the other night, and our high schoolers. I have a different leader for that. But I just said, hey, think about the friends and the people you encounter on a daily basis. Okay, I'm going to give you two scenarios. Somebody comes up and was like, man, you really did good at that ball game last night, or hey, you look awesome today, and I'm thankful for the friendship we have. And then versus somebody who's like, dude, did you really, you know, miss those two shots, and did you really wear that today? Mm-hmm. And I just asked him, I said, out of those two people, who do you want to be around?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who do you want to be around?
Yeah.
And it was pretty obvious, right?
Right. Yeah.
But I brought it, I changed it. I said, which one are you to God?
That's good.
Which one are you to God? Are you one that comes with thanksgiving mm-hmm. to the Lord? Or are you one that comes with demands and bitterness and being upset all the time? And like, listen, I've been guilty of being in those situations before.
Sure.
Right? And I still believe that the Lord, if it's a truly a need for our life and we come bitter, upset, etc. Okay, yes, he's going to meet our needs. Sure. But the biggest thing that the Lord has just been teaching me in that is, I don't even know, those kids may not have remembered that, but the Lord's been really working on me with that. And mm-hmm. what I see in that is the posture of the person's heart when they bring things to the Lord.
Yeah.
The posture of somebody's heart when they come to you. Yeah. Right? Those relationships that you have where people are thankful for you and they praise you and they love on you, those are relationships that you value.
Mm-hmm.
And in the same way, when we come with a heart of thanksgiving and praise to the Heavenly Father, more than it's He needs that, we need that to be reminded of who He is
in
our lives. And it allowed me and it forced me, bless you, to slow down a little bit in my own life and kind of just realize, you know what? More than there's anything important that I need to ask for or demand or urgent coming up in my life, it forces me to slow down and to have a posture of, Lord, there's a ton of things that I can be thankful for before there's anything that I necessarily need.
100%. And this is where, and you know how my mind works, I'll start chasing a rabbit if it runs out in front of me. This is where social media in comparison, killing the family unit.
Absolutely.
It's killing people's idea of success, because I come on the internet and I'm happy. I got a wife, I got four kids, and all of a sudden I see Pastor T got a new hunting gun or a new fishing boat, or I see something that has nothing to do with my life. And all of a sudden, I didn't get a fishing boat. Why am I not happy? And all of a sudden, I let your blessing become something that dictated my happiness.
Yeah.
And I think that our culture, man, this social media, this constant plug-in all the time, we forgot about how to be thankful because we're spending so much time looking at everybody else's life thinking, man, they got it all figured out. But what they don't realize is we're just seeing each other's highlight reels most of the time.
That's
on
it.
Social media. It's all it is. It's like a SportsCenter clip. And so I think, for me, I did some fasting earlier this year where I went, I don't even remember how many days, with no social media. And I can tell you 100% I was a happier person when I did that. When I did not look. And it doesn't have, don't mean I don't love people, don't mean I don't want to reach people, whatever. But I was just happier. I think contentment is a real thing.
Sure.
And we are rich compared to most people on planet Earth. We have clean water. We have heat, we have air, we have nice homes. I mean, the homes that
food
we
on
have
the table,
are
air conditioned,
heated, man. We're
cars.
We have modest homes compared to the American dream, but the reality is, even compared to most parts of America, we have a very nice home. We have our church building is
people,
paid for.
If you make between $20,000 and $30,000 a year, you're the top, I think it's 10% richest in the world.
Well, what's up, rich guy? You know, I mean, we're rich. I mean, that's what I'm saying, is like, we forget how blessed we truly are, man. You know, like our problems, you know, in the nighttime is if the Wi-Fi goes out during the basketball game, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Other parts of the world, it's if they don't get a certain medicine or a certain meal, right? You know, like we don't have, now I know America stinks right now. I mean, look around, some of the things being allowed to happen are stupid, and that's another show for another day because we're trying to be thankful today. But as a general whole, other than some of the craziness being allowed in the society, we got it pretty good.
Dude, we have the freedom to worship Jesus every day of our lives.
We don't got to do it in hidden secret.
We don't got to worry. We don't got to worry about our lives being taken.
Yeah.
Truly. Yeah. Like, sure, we are going to face persecution in different ways, but the true thankfulness of the freedoms and the liberties we have to fully worship Jesus and to fully express our love and our gratitude and share the gospel everywhere we walk. Like, there's not a place in America you can't walk into and say, tell somebody Jesus loves you.
Yeah. You may have different social consequences depending on where that is.
Yeah, but you don't have to worry about your life.
Right. Not for the most part.
For the most part.
Yeah.
Like, that's a freedom we have. It's something, like, be thankful for.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Because you're absolutely right. Like, we don't realize how, I'm going to say it this way, but how easy we have it.
100%. 100%, man.
And we get so caught up in the comparison and the highlight reels and everything that we fail to realize and fail to take time to be thankful for some of the small things that we are granted on a daily basis.
A few years ago on Christmas time, probably 2 years ago on Christmas time, Colleen and the kids and I went to a cabin out, I don't even know where we were, somewhere between Eureka and the Holiday Island, somewhere out that way. And while we were there, and we didn't know this going in, right? We just knew it was a cabin, you know, a couple bedrooms. We was going to all share bedrooms and just have a good time. Well, we didn't know this. There was, like, no Wi-Fi and, like, 3 TV channels on the thing. No DVD players, no nothing. So we get there. And, of course, my kids at that time were all, you know, the oldest was probably 9 or 10. The youngest was probably 3 or 4, you know, so the DVD age and wanting to watch. I think we did have a portable DVD player, so like the girls could watch it when they went to bed or something. But dude, we only went for a couple days. And I know everyone's like, oh, you can't go without Wi-Fi for a couple days. That's not a big deal. Okay, well, go do it with 4 kids. Go do it.
In the age we live in.
In the age we live in.
Yeah.
In a cabin with a TV sitting right in front of you, but you can't get it to work. You know, like, kind of one of those deals. We played more board games and cooked family supper together, and just there was no distraction. The weather was about like it is now. It wasn't freezing cold, but it wasn't warm. And so really, here was our two choices: was we could go fishing or we could play board games. And so we did those things. And then like one night we drove over to the Christ of the Ozarks. It was Christmas Eve, actually. We drove to the Christ of the Ozarks. And we walked that place. And they were playing, like, songs about Jesus' arrival. And it was one of the most spiritual moments of my life. Like, just being there and being with my family and no distractions. And I say all that to say this is, like, find the time this holiday season amongst all your scrolling and your football watching and all that stuff, and just go take all your cell phones and lock them up in a bedroom and just be with your family. Whatever that looks like. To everybody, it's going to look a little bit different.
Sure.
But I have one planned. My kids don't listen to this, so I can talk about it. I have one planned. Maybe they do. I don't know. they won't know about it until it happens. But I have a night planned next week where I've already told Colleen, I was like, I'm bringing every mattress in the living room. Except ours. I'm going to bring all the kids' mattresses in the living room. I have their favorite takeout order already wrote down. They don't know that I was planning this. I've been asking them questions for weeks. And, like, I think 2 of the kids picked Chick-fil-A. And then 1 picked Domino's. I don't know. Somebody picked...
There's a reason you wrote it down.
Skittles. Yes, there's a reason. There's a reason I wrote it down. Some picked sour Skittles. Somebody picked a gummy worms. So, anyways, all these things, right? And... So on that night, we're just going to take our phones, we're going to lock them up, put them away, and just that's just going to be us. We're going to watch Christmas movies And my girls are into, they call them smoochy Christmas movies. It's Hallmark Christmas movies.
Oh, my gosh.
Smoochy. Smoochy. So Christmas. My girls are going to put on a smoochy Christmas movie. And then the boys are going to get to pick one next. You know, we're going to get a manly Christmas
movie.
You're going to
get, what's the one where they're, like, fighting over the Christmas light? Christmas with the, is it Christmas with
yeah,
the
yeah, 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 yeah. We're going, like, to get something a little more manly. And, but, you know, I can't wait for that night. And I don't know which night we have planned next week to do that, but it's going to be one where we already blocked it off and we said, hey, this night, nobody's invited over, nobody's going hunting, nobody's going to a friend's house, nobody's going to basketball, you know, because they don't have it that night, thank God, and we're just going to sit together. And I don't want to sound like that's like some real big achievement that I'm achieving, but when is the last time we did that, honestly? Mm-hmm. We live in this age where, man, even sitting here right now, my phone's gone off like 17 times in the last 20 minutes, I feel like. And that's just the culture we're in, man. It's an on-call 24/7 culture. And for me this year, I'm going to work on Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year, all of these things. I'm going to work on it being a season of just put some things down and let my wife and my children know I'm here.
Sure.
And I'm here for it. And whatever that looks like, I don't even care what we do. I just want to be with you guys. And that's going to be what I'm going to work towards this year. And then hopefully I'm able to do that for them, because that's what I need to do. What about you? Tell me, Pastor T, what's the big plans? Do you eat the turkey?
Oh,
the ham?
Oh,
what do you look forward to most?
Oh, it's a... Well, for me, it's a tradition that my dad and my brother and I have adopted, that right around Thanksgiving, we take the 2-3 days and we just hunt.
Yeah.
We just get out there and enjoy time with one another.
Yes.
Enjoy God's creation. And so that's part of one thing we do. And then we always go eat with my family, and then the tradition we started with my wife's family and some of their friends is we go to their house and eat too.
Nice.
And so let's just say I put on about 10 pounds on Thanksgiving day.
To get ready.
Well, that's why I'm running up and down a basketball court so that I'm ready for it. But,
yes,
man, we just one thing that we definitely do in our family time during this, and we've talked about for years and years and years, is that we don't really, other than meeting and eating, we don't really plan anything. We just allow us to enjoy that time, right? Because as our families have grown, it's hard to gather together in a one setting and enjoy time with one another. You know, and so These holidays that do allow us to stop and come together, we just enjoy them. No agenda.
Yeah.
Other than food. Like, what food are you bringing? Like, everybody wants to know what food you bring so they can be prepared for it. But other than that, like, there's no agenda, but just...
Praise God.
Hanging out.
Dude, I'm a glutton on Thanksgiving.
Yes.
I mean...
I am too.
Like borderline... What's weird is I'm going to say it, think whatever you want of me. Not a big turkey guy. Huge sides guy.
Oh, yeah.
Want all the sides.
Green bean casserole, cream corn, mashed potatoes and gravy.
Yeah.
Do you like the beets?
I like deviled eggs. I'm like the world champ deviled egg guy. I feel like I could eat 40 of those.
Hey, listen, I'll just be honest. I ain't never going to touch something with the word devil in it. So.
Well. I call them resurrection eggs. I don't care. We call them whatever we need to call them. I'm just telling you. I do like a smoked turkey now. If you find a smoked turkey, every couple of years, some of our family will smoke one. They like to experiment. I've just never been a big turkey guy. Like last year,
if you don't like dark meat and you don't like the mixture of light and dark meat, and turkey's a little bit drier.
Yeah.
So if you don't have some dressing to go with it and
now
stuff
dressing,
like that.
Now I'm a dressing guy. And I don't kick away the turkey. I mean, look at me, dude. I ain't kicking away the meat, okay? I'm eating it, you know? Yeah. I'll shoot it. We'll eat it. But I do. Well, last year we did a non-traditional meal. And everyone just picked whatever they wanted. And I think I picked like shrimp, Cajun jambalaya or something. My wife made it for me. But we have those traditions too, like you talked about. Our goal is never, one time Colleen went and did that Black Friday shopping. I think that was once in our life, and she never did that either. So she might now. She's got some sisters that would, if she wanted to, they would take her every year. That is so not me. I'm like you. I'm going outside. I'm going to the deer woods.
Leave me alone.
I'm going. I'm taking my kids hunting.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go spend some time sitting in the woods somewhere. Enjoy that. But yeah, we're like you. We just enjoy it together. All right, so let's wrap this puppy up because I'm thinking we got to get ready to eat because it's Tuesday. And so if you only had one side and one dessert for Thanksgiving, what would they be? One side and one dessert.
One side. Golly. I'd have to go with corn casserole.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
And probably my Mimi's homemade cheesecake.
Homemade cheesecake.
Yeah, she makes she makes it basically for me and my cousin. And we eat almost the whole thing.
Any fruit on that or any? Blueberry or cherry? No.
Just straight cheesecake. Just a straight cheesecake.
I'm a cheesecake kind
of
guy.
Yeah. There's not a lot of people that like it, but I can count on it. When I show up in 2 days, Thursday, Thanksgiving, at whatever time, it's going to be there. And you know what else is going to be there? Because she loves her grandkids, there's going to be a bottle of honey sitting at my seat.
What do you put the honey on?
My roll, about 5-0.
Oh, yeah. I like the rolls with honey.
But side, I'd have to go, cream casserole and cheesecake as my dessert. You?
Well, if you only let me pick one...
Well, you're the one who made the stipulations.
I'm never going to pick one again. I like hash brown casserole or potato or not
you
potato.
You can't say or. You get one.
No, I'm joking. I'm going to get two.
No, you can't. You made the stipulations of one.
All right, I'm going with hash brown casserole. Done right is the best. Maybelline Kaufman made one time for a funeral I did. Sorry, this is how my brain works. It was the best casserole I've ever had in my life. And Colleen said she's seen her cook one time. She puts like 3 sticks of butter and everything.
Well,
that's why.
That's why.
Maybelline's the bomb. But hash brown casserole, potato casserole, whatever you call it. That thing. But dessert, man, I'll be honest with you. It's hard. It's hard for me to beat a very good pumpkin cheesecake or pumpkin pie.
Yeah.
Homemade that somebody put all their love and energy and effort into with about 17 layers of Cool Whip on it. More Cool Whip than pie. It's tough for me to beat it. I love that.
There's one other thing that you didn't mention that I do got to mention because this is one thing that we always do at these big holidays with my family. And if I mention it, you're probably going to want to start doing it.
Okay.
And it is a hot commodity for our family around the holidays.
Yeah.
And that is, it is a coffee ice cream. But it's like, it's a coffee punch. Coffee punch.
Okay.
We take your regular punch when you do like a sherbet and some Sprite and stuff.
Yeah.
We do it with chocolate and vanilla ice cream and coffee. We make a coffee punch out of
it. Just tell me where to be.
So
I'm showing up. You just tell me where to be and what day
to go. That is one other thing that's got to be at Thanksgiving, Christmas, all of the above is the coffee punch.
And I don't know if we have any family drinks like that.
Even know when it started.
It just happened.
I don't even know when it started.
Well.
But I know this. That
it's there
almost every time somebody walks in the door. Coffee punch made.
There's a guy in the church that made some homemade coffee ice cream. Wiley was really good. We need to call him up and get your maybe y'all need to all make that for Sunday. Well, God love you guys. I pray that you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Do yourself a favor and spend time with the ones that you love. And enjoy your fellowship and your Thanksgiving with the Lord and rejoice in the season that God has given you. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to The Pastor's Porch. If you don't have a church home, come join us at Unity Covenant Church in West Fork, Arkansas. We would love to have you. Thank you for your continual support to this podcast. Please stay tuned for more episodes. Have a great day, and God bless.